debt. It keeps you tossing and turning at night. You can't get away from it. But the truth is, the system is designed to trap you in debt. Insanely high interest credit cards and loans make it nearly impossible to pay off your debt. There's a new way out of the debt trap, Pivotal Debt Solutions. Pivotal Debt Solutions isn't like the old school debt relief companies that string your debt out for years. They have aggressive strategies that can end your debt faster and easier than you thought possible. Pivotal Debt Solutions can cut or even eliminate interest. Find programs to write off your balances so you owe less. Stop those threatening phone calls, and without bankruptcy and without a loan. Bottom line, they find every solution possible to end your debt permanently. Before you do anything, contact Pivotal Debt Solutions first. Talk to them for free. Find out how fast they can help you get out of debt. Visit zapmydebt.com. That's zapmydebt.com. Zapmydebt.com.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is the Tom Hartmann Program.
And welcome back. Tom Hartmann here with you. On the line with us is Amit Narang. He is an attorney and regulatory policy advocate with Public Citizen, citizen.org. His Twitter handle is TRYPTIQUE, triptych. And Amit, welcome to the program.
Hey, nice to be back with you, Tom. Hope you and all your listeners are safe and sane, or at least safe.
Thank you for joining us. Tell me about Donald Trump's, while he's doing his daily reality TV show in the afternoons on TV, and everybody seems to talk about that, his agencies, his regulatory agencies, the EPA, the Interior Department, etc., they are hard at work. What are they up to?
You know, the one thing that has not shut down under the pandemic has been the Trump administration's relentless quest to roll back consumer, worker, environmental, and generally public health and safety regulations. And we're at a critical stage here with the Trump administration nearing the end of its first term. And so what the administration is trying to do is to not let the pandemic stop their finishing touches on their anti-worker, anti-consumer, anti-environment deregulatory agenda. It is pretty conspicuous to see the agencies moving full steam ahead, maybe even trying to go faster to rush these rollbacks out the door and finalize them, while they are, you know, basically otherwise directing all agencies to just focus on pandemic response and any regulatory issues related just to the pandemic. So today, we had one of the most consequential and damaging rollbacks that we've seen during the entire Trump administration. That's the rollback of the clean car standards. Those are the fuel efficiency standards that President Obama put in place that would not only save consumers an enormous amount at the pump, but obviously would reduce carbon emissions, clean up pollution, and slow down climate change. Trump administration, despite the pandemic, decided today was a good day. Probably because a lot of folks are distracted, of course, with the pandemic and not really paying attention to get out this rollback and finalize it. Because these clean car standards, not only did it make 100% policy sense, good for the environment, good for consumers, frankly, good for the auto industry in terms of giving them certainty.
Yeah, the automakers supported these, didn't they?
Exactly. This is really going to be a problem. It's a lose for the automakers. Is really only a win for the oil and gas industry, because consumers, of course, will be pumping a lot more gas at the pump and paying more money for it, of course. And that goes right in the pockets of right. The oil and gas industry. And that's why the public supports higher fuel efficiency standards, cleaner cars, supported the Obama clean car standards. And so this is why the administration would rather the public is not paying attention as they get this out. So glad that you're shining a spotlight on it, Tom.
Charles Koch is probably the most conspicuous oil industry oligarch in America and has played a leading role, he and his late brother David, in building the right-wing infrastructure that powers essentially the Republican Party and the right-wing media world. Are there other fossil fuel oligarchs that are funding the Republican Party so extensively that the party would basically put the health and lives of Americans at risk in exchange for their continued support?
I mean, the oil and that gas industry just generally has an enormous amount of influence over the Trump administration, both the EPA, also the Department of Interior. Of course, the Department of Interior is run by a guy named David Bernhardt, who is a former oil and gas lobbyist. The current EPA head is a former coal lobbyist, Andrew Wheeler. So it's not only the, you know, some of these ideological warriors like the Kochs or just Charles Koch now, who certainly have a business interest, don't get me wrong, to try to gut any regulation that, you know, hits into their profits. But it's the industry itself that has essentially made, you know, the EPA and the Department of Interior subsidiaries of the industry. I don't really think there's any other way to describe it that's not overstating it. There's just so many conflicts of interest in this administration, folks that come straight from the industries that these agencies are supposed to be regulating at arm's length, and instead they're just turning these agencies around into factories to produce whatever the wish list of the oil and industry is demanding of the Trump administration. The Koch brothers, they've been obviously very impactful when it comes to environmental regulation, but it goes broader than that. It is an ideological push to try to reduce, you know, the ability of the government to protect the public. And honestly, we're seeing it in this pandemic. You know, it's kind of crazy for me to be seeing the president and lots of conservatives on down argue that we should reopen businesses in the face of the pandemic because the cost to business outweigh the benefits of saving lives by implementing social distancing. But that's just a feature of just how much these kinds of ideological warriors have pushed our government to look at policies that save lives, that protect the public's health and safety, through an economic lens, first and foremost, and not through the lens of what do we value in our government? What should our government be doing? Which I think most people believe right now, saving lives and not trying to avoid short-term costs that will cost lives and frankly, will destroy our economy in the long run.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. The EPA and, you know, this regulatory structure, by and large, was put into place back in the 70s. It got knocked back a little by Reagan and George W. Bush, but it has survived all this time. It's being gutted now by Trump. How long, assuming Trump loses and leaves office in November and January, how long will it take to rebuild the Interior Department?
I mean, it could take a better part of whatever the first term of the next president would be. I mean, that's a long amount of time. And we do not have that time when it comes to climate change and pollution and pushing the auto industry to give consumers more fuel-efficient cars. We've lost a lot of time under the Trump administration just on climate change. And frankly, that takes certain policy options that may have been on the table in the past. Taxing carbon, the one that comes to mind, it really takes it off the table because those are the types of measures that would have worked if we had more time to fight climate change. But we have lost that time. And so we do have to look at more drastic, radical measures that are needed to save the climate on the much shortened timeline that we now have. And, you know, this is a common thing again. We constantly are having our government wait too long to address crises, and then we have to take drastic action to fix it.
So it seems. Amit Narang, he is with Public Citizen. He's an attorney and regulatory policy advocate with Public Citizen. Citizen.org is the website, and Triptych is his Twitter handle. Amit, thanks for dropping by.
Hey, thanks for having
this
me on, Tom.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Sure. Tom Hartman here with you. Just wanted to bring you up to date on some more of the news of the day, and then I'll be picking up your phone calls right on the other side of the bottom of the hour. The Trump administration has said no to a fourth stimulus. The third stimulus, of course, was the $2 trillion one that was passed last week.
here are the details. Now they're coming out. Mitch McConnell, this was reported on Morning Joe this morning. Mitch McConnell said, quote, "I'm not going to allow this crisis, right, to be an opportunity for the Democrats to achieve unrelated policy items they wouldn't otherwise be able to pass." In other words, he's not going to go for another stimulus. He did say, however, that he is going to approve more right-wing judges. Meanwhile, the White House economic advisor told the Washington Post's Jeff Stein on Monday, yesterday, that the chances of congressional Republicans supporting a stimulus bill that includes progressive priorities such as more money for food assistance or an increase in Medicaid funding or even recurring direct cash payments to U.S. households like are being done by every other developed country in the world, the chance of any of those things happening, quote, are zero. The advisor said, no more spending. We did all the spending. And there's, you know, with toothless oversight and a sneak attack on Social Security, this, I guess we're going to have to just hunker down and take our $1,200 and say, oh, thank you, President Trump. That was so nice of you to give me $1,200. You see the news story? He wants his signature on those checks. He wants his name, Donald Trump, President of the United States, and his signature on every one of those $1,200 checks. Now, most of them are going to get it. Most of us are going to get it by direct deposit. But do you really think, Trump, do you really think that $1,200, a one-time $1,200 check, is going to save Americans? That it's even going to consequentially help Americans? I mean, I'm not opposed to it. It's a great start. But other countries are giving everybody $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 a month. I mean, typically $2,000 a month seems to be kind of the average of what's going on. Actually, what's happening in most of the developed democracies is that the government is saying employers, even when you've laid your people off, pay them between 70 and 90% of their regular paycheck, depending on the country, right? 70% in Spain, 90% in Denmark, you know, pick your country. Pay your employees and we will reimburse you. That's what the governments are saying in those countries. But not here. No, not here. We have Republicans in charge. Meanwhile, the captain of the nuclear, this is Sarah Burris writing over at Raw Story, the captain of the nuclear aircraft carrier, the USS Theodore Roosevelt, is begging for help. The San Francisco Chronicle reported Tuesday that there's 4,000 people on this aircraft carrier. Between 150 and 200 of them have already tested positive. And the captain of the ship, Brett Crozier, wrote a four-page letter begging the Navy for help. They're docked in Guam right now. What he wants the Navy to do is rent hotels and things on Guam so he can get the contaminated sailors off the ship. In his four-page letter to the Department of the Navy, and this is almost, I mean, this is sad, right? He said, "We are not at war. Sailors do not need to die. If we do not act now, we are failing to properly take care of our most trusted asset, our sailors. The spread of this disease is ongoing and accelerating, and due to the warship's inherent limitation on space, we are not doing this," though this being social distancing. He asked the Navy for compliant quarantine rooms in Guam as soon as possible. And then he added, "Removing the majority of personnel from a deployed U.S. nuclear aircraft carrier and isolating them for 2 weeks may seem like an extraordinary measure, but this is a necessary risk. Keeping over 4,000 young men and women on board the TR is an unnecessary risk and breaks faith with those sailors entrusted to our care." Meanwhile, yesterday, Donald Trump had a meeting with a bunch of governors around the country. And Montana governor, it wasn't just Trump, it was, you know, his science people. And so Steve Bullock, the Democratic governor of Montana, gets on the phone and says, "We don't have enough supplies to even do the testing. Literally, we are one day away. If we don't get test kits from the CDC, that we are one day away that we will not be able to do testing in Montana." And Trump jumps on, because Bullock had been talking to, I believe, the vice president. Trump jumps on and says, "Well, I haven't heard about testing in weeks. We've tested more now than any nation in the world. We got these great tests, and we come out with another one tomorrow that's, you know, almost instantaneous testing. But I haven't heard about testing being a problem." This guy is so out of his league. He is so underwater. The governor of Montana begging for test kits, and Trump saying, "Hey, you got no problem."
This is grim stuff. This is really grim stuff. Fascinating piece, by the way, over at Washington Post. Everything and everyone Donald Trump is blamed for his coronavirus response. Falwell said that the virus was a liberal hoax, and or words to that effect, and he invited the students back, and six students came back. The town is pissed. Jerry Falwell had said that the whole coronavirus thing, well, he said the Times is false and misleading in their reporting on coronavirus. He accused the media of trying to fan it up, that's the coronavirus thing, to destroy the economy and thus injure Trump's presidency. He told his students, come back to Liberty University, and about 2,000 students did. And the people in Lynchburg are very, very concerned. This is a very conservative town, but, you know, they can watch the news just like anybody else. Falwell now has a bunch of sick students there. At least 12 of them are displaying the symptoms of the virus. You know, he asked four of them who had been in New York City to isolate, along with three others he came in close contact with. Two of the students said no, and they went back to their dorms. They said, we're asymptomatic. We don't have to worry. This is what happens when you listen to right-wing media, when you watch Fox News, and when you believe Donald Trump, or any Republican for that matter. And finally, I wanted to mention this this story, the U.S. Interior Department. There's a tribe that's near Rhode Island. It's the Mashpee Wampanoag tribe. My apologies if I'm mispronouncing. And according to tribal chairman Cedric Cromwell, the Interior Department has said no to them. They rescinded their reservation status. Why? This is from the Huffington Post story, quote, because the tribe, quote, would have competed for business. They wanted to put up a casino with nearby Rhode Island casinos with strong ties to Trump. These tribal members, the Mashpee Wampanoag, are believed to be descendants of the first Native Americans to encounter the Pilgrims nearly four centuries ago. They call themselves the people of the first light. The president of the tribe says that this is cruel and unnecessary. Cromwell told the Cape Cod Times that he thought he was being contacted by the Trump administration to see if the tribe needed anything during the pandemic. Instead, he said it was like a punch in the nose from a bully. Your reservation no longer exists. You can't build a casino on it to compete with my friends down the road. Carol in Hemet, California. Hey, Carol. Thanks for watching Free Speech. What's up?
Hi, Tom. Thank you so much for reporting on the Mashpee One panel lag. I wanted to share that.
Thank you.
I spoke to people that I know in the Pine Ridge Reservation, South Dakota. I asked, are they getting any of this stimulus money, the $1,200 check? I was told that no Native American, no Resses are getting that check. They are not going to have any part of the stimulus because they are nations.
Oh, geez. I'll have to fact check that, Carol. I certainly hope that's not the case. I mean, there's so many holes in this thing, including regulatory holes that would prevent big corporations from robbing us blind. There's all kinds of loopholes that they're going to be using. I do not know about that. I'll have to look into it.
Yeah. Also, I wanted to share here where I live, one of my dear, dear neighbors. His daughter is a home visiting nurse. This is what is happening. She had to have her own gear with company that she worked for. She ran out of protective masks some time ago. She called her boss and said, I need protective gear. I can't find any. I need the mask. Because as a home nurse, visiting nurse, if one of her patients winds up in one of these rehab places for the seniors, they're still their patient, and she has to visit. Now, those places are taking precautions and saying, you can't come in here, visiting nurse, without a mask, without gloves. Well, her boss told her, keep using the same mask, the same gloves. She's been
That's what Trump said on TV yesterday. Just wash them out.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, right. Wash out a paper mask, really?
Mm-hmm. So for 2 weeks, she's been wearing the same mask. You know, it's killing her knowing how wrong this is. But he also told her, don't let them know you're wearing the same mask. So while these people are taking precautions, you've got bosses out there that, for the profit motive and to not lose a single patient as a customer, are forcing their workers to do this. It's just hell. And
you,
I am grieving the Native Americans and my neighbor.
Yeah, your daughter needs to document that to you in a way that is that can't be disputed, you know, in a specific email from her email address or something. I don't know what would hold up in a court of law, but there's a basis for a lawsuit there, I think, once the dust settles here.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, thank you, Carol. Wow, what a day, huh? What a day. Some of the people, this is from the Washington Post, some of the groups that Donald Trump has blamed for the coronavirus response, he's blamed China. He said it was their fault. He has blamed Obama, the Obama administration. He has blamed the media for the coronavirus. He has blamed the governors for ventilator shortages. Yes, it's the governor's fault. He has blamed General Motors for ventilator shortages. He has blamed hospitals for ventilator and mask shortages. And now Mitch McConnell is blaming Democrats.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Congressman Mark Pocan. Congressman Pocan is the co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus. He represents the 2nd District of Wisconsin in the U.S. House of Representatives. His website is Pocan, P-O-C-A-N.house.gov. And you can tweet him at Rep Mark Pocan, as in Representative Mark Pocan, M-A-R-K-P-O-C-A-N. Congressman Pocan, welcome back to the program. How are you and how is everything in Wisconsin so far?
Well, you know, we're getting by with Governor Evers has a safer at home order that's been in place for about a week now. We're glad he did. I'm still a little dumbfounded at places like Florida that haven't done this yet. Most non-essential businesses are closed. People are urged to be home for the next 1 month, so some point in late April. We're just in between finding out all the details that we need to try to address concerns around the third package we did federally, getting things ready for a fourth package, in which we're spending most of our time on right now, and then trying to get supplies to Wisconsin. You know, the idea that governors are having to compete against each other for things like ventilators is crazy, but we're all making do with what we have right now. So we've been fortunate. A few companies, local companies that have big footprints, one has decided to step up doing tests. They were a firm, Exact Sciences, that did Cologuard, a colorectal cancer test for people. Now they're doing tests for COVID, and also companies doing reagents locally. So we're doing the best we can, trying to make sure FEMA is getting us what we need. But, you know, like everyone, this is a new reality we're all struggling through together.
So, Congressman, anything you wanted to discuss or lay down, or should we go right to calls here?
I think we can go right to calls. I just think I'll say right off the bat, though, asking particularized details of what was in the CARES package is probably not something I can easily do without referencing pages. It's a 1,200-page document. So, you know, if we can do things a little more generally, I'll be more than glad to try to answer people's questions.
Okay, let's do it. Larry in Hazel Green in Huntsville, Alabama. I'm not sure which is your town, Larry. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Congressman, every time I turn on the TV, I see so many ads for drugs for psoriasis, Crohn's disease, arthritis, and these are immune suppressant drugs. And I'm wondering if you have questioned the FDA on whether these drugs are appropriate with the coronavirus raging on. Also, we should probably be concerned about other chemical exposures that might make people more susceptible to severe cases.
FDA has not, to my knowledge, raised this, at least in a setting that I've been at, but I'm sure that they are on top of every possible scenario. So they have given certain people with certain ailments extra caution, right? So we know that people over 60, we know people who have diabetes, cardiovascular disease, certain pulmonary diseases, immunosuppressed in any way, are all told that if you get this, it can be much harder on you. So we know those are concerns, but I haven't seen anything directly addressed to this, but since it is a pretty obvious thing, I think they have probably looked at this and would be issuing any guidelines should there be. In general, though, what we're telling everyone, and again, if there was a nationwide shutdown like there should be, this is what we would all doing instead of doing it state by state, you'd be staying home. You'd be washing your hands. You'd be avoiding contact with other people. You know, if you have to do the once a week grocery store run, better yet, there's some delivery services. But if we all do this, we will come out of this quicker. And I think that's the stuff I want to stress. Far too many people are like, well, I'm off of work. I'm going to take my family to a park an hour away. No, that's not essential travel in a place like Wisconsin. You're not supposed to do that. So those are things that we're trying to convince people that every time you take that long drive, you're likely to need to get gas, and that puts you in a gas station that's putting you and others at risk. So we just have to all be very smart, not be selfish. Think of people who are most at risk, but also we're finding many people who are healthy are winding up in ICUs and dying. So this is just, I think the best advice I have at this point is if you have the ability to stay home or work from home, do that. Try to limit that contact with others. When you do have to have contact, make sure you're washing your hands and taking all the other common sense precautions. We'll get through this, but the next month, April, is going to be really key.
Macario in San Jose, California. Hey, Macario, thanks for listening to SiriusXM. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Yes, thank you for taking my call, Tom, and Congressman, sir. With all due respect, I just want to know why hasn't American scientists have been working with a Cuban scientist, because I read this article online that Seville, Spain is using an anti-coronavirus drug. And it has been used also right now in China. And possibly Italy is going to begin to use this this particular drug to kill the virus.
That was developed in Cuba. Yeah. Congressman?
Yeah, I mean, so I think this is key. Let me take it a little more general, Macario, if I can. Dr. Fauci is like my number one source, but I also go to people like Scott Gottlieb, quite honestly, the former FDA commissioner under Donald Trump, who's been a very good source. And there's a number of doctors and scientists that I'm taking advice from rather than reality show stars turned president who don't give such great advice. And I think one of the things that I'm really watching for and I am hopeful of is that if we can get therapies to address this, so if you get the coronavirus, that you're able to keep the effects minimal. That's what we mean by therapies. Then this isn't necessarily a life sentence for nearly as many people, and things will be much more normal until we have a vaccine. So that's what we're looking for, and they have good reason to believe that with all the work that's happening, that is coming on the horizon, and that's what is going to be a key element to watch. So whether it be anything in Cuba, trust me, doctors will be following it here in the United States. Whether it be any types of other current drugs that are out there, they're currently being tested. this is one of the key ways to get us back to recovery. Right now, it's making sure we're stopping the spread, and then it's really getting that therapeutic and eventually that vaccine. So, Macario, you're right. Anything we can do to collaborate with anyone right now makes a lot of sense when it comes to therapies. And the good news is this is one of the bright areas that I hear from the people that I'm reaching out to.
Sir, we have 15 seconds. Is there any word about backing off our embargoes on Iran and Cuba?
You know, we've introduced, I'm on a bill to do that with Iran right now, and I'm not sure if we've done it on Cuba. Unfortunately, this president is still who he is, and I think that's going to be difficult to see happen.
That's so unfortunate. Chris.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
And you can tweet him at Rep. Mark Pocan. His website is pocan.house.gov. John in Vancouver, Washington. Hey, John, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Yes, that's a quick question for Congressman Pocan. Are you looking at all at allowing people to pull from their retirement, be it Roth, IRA, or 401k, without taxes and penalties to help us get through this financially? I mean, we get a little bit, $1,200, you know, from the government, but that's just not enough for most people.
Well, for most people, if you have a job still, that's an additional amount of money to help stimulate the economy. If you are unemployed, we just gave a stimulus of $2,400 extra per month above the state's unemployment to help people get through these times. Right now, in many ways, would be the worst time to take money out of retirement from everyone I'm talking to, because it's right now it's gone down significantly. So in general, that would be a very bad idea. This idea has come up, but then what I'm saying also comes up. So again, if you're working and working from home and making your income, you're still making your income. If you make $75,000 or less, or $150,000 as a couple, you're going to get this check to help stimulate the economy. But you shouldn't need any extra right now because you're working. For those who are not working, we do have that surge of the $600 a week in place that will help people at least for the next 4 months. So I think there may be some scenarios where someone's being missed, and we are working on those. But again, I'm not sure if taking money out of retirement is the best idea right now.
Richard in Smithton, Illinois. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Oh, thanks for taking my call there. My worry is this $500 billion slush fund. Trump has already come out and said he's not going to honor what the Congress put out there and said going to be oversight. He's going to do whatever he wants with that money, him and Mnuchin. And this guy's been grifting us for over 3.5 years now, and I'm sick and tired of it. Thank you.
Yeah, I hear you, Richard. But here's the thing. This guy has been so full of bravado and false information that this is one more example of him not knowing his behind from his front. And he can't do things. If we put something into law, he can't just not do it. He can be sued. And we are right now putting in place the very people that will have oversight over some of this. So he may try to get around the law, but we made it into statute, into law. And he's going to have, I think, a tougher time than him just saying it. We have not decreed him to be king, and he doesn't have the powers that he would like to have. So we're going to ride this hard. This has been a top priority for the Progressive Caucus members and almost every single Democrat I've talked to in Congress. Don't worry yet. We are not giving up on making sure that the proper oversight will happen.
Now, Mitch McConnell says that he's not going to look at any more stimulus bills, no more legislation, no changes. What do you think?
And that's Mitch McConnell, right? I mean, Mitch McConnell is, he also tried to say that the impeachment is why we weren't ready for coronavirus. And again, that's so ridiculous on its face. He hasn't done any bill that we've sent, like 400 plus bills. The vast majority were bipartisan bills. He hasn't taken anything up, and now he's trying to find some excuse. Mitch McConnell, people can figure him out. At the end of the day, he may not be a senator from Kentucky if he keeps that up.
Yeah. The answer is amymcgrath.com. Quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR, all into one platform and one source of truth.
With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required. It's accessible from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Hartman with two N's. netsuite.com/Hartman. That's netsuite.com/Hartman. Hey, we have a special new video up for supporters of our program over at tomhartman.com. And it's about how FDR in 1944, in fact, January 44, in his State of the Union address, talked about how important it was to add rights to the Bill of Rights. The original Bill of Rights was all political rights. He said it's time to enshrine economic rights in our Constitution. I would add, like the most of the governments of Europe have done. And this includes the right to housing, the right to food, the right to a good job that pays well, the right to an education, including a college education, and the right to health care. It is pretty powerful stuff. And frankly, I think that what this coronavirus crisis is proving is that we are all in this together, and that Reagan's thing about government is never going to help you was just a load of crap. And so you can check it out over at tomhartman.com. Congressman Mark Pocan taking your calls for the hour. Thomas in Santa Clarita, California. Thomas, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
I believe Senator Warren a few weeks ago suggested that Social Security benefits, people who get Social Security might get an increase of, say, $200 a month through this period. I was wondering if there's any traction to that idea going forward.
Thomas, I don't believe the Senate Republicans were at all receptive to that idea. We are trying to still deal with, in the case of some seniors who don't file a tax return, there's a little bit of a convoluted way for them to even get the $1,200 check, and we're trying to get that simplified just via a phone call I was on yesterday. But I doubt that they will do anything to increase Social Security benefits during this period.
Michael, listening to WMNF in Lake Wells, Florida. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Yes, hi. I was wondering what the total amount is of this bailout package, including what the Federal Reserve is doing.
Michael, I'm going to answer it this way because there's been a lot of misinformation out there. This package is about $2 trillion. What the Federal Reserve is doing is completely independent of this package. So some people, I think, have not been helpful when they try to combine the two and act as though there's something, you know, wrong happening. And those are two very, very different actions. But the bill itself is about $2 trillion of aid. And again, we think we need to get more out, and we need to, in the next package, you'll likely see an investment in infrastructure and other issues for recovery. Speaker Pelosi has repeatedly said the next bill is about getting us back recovery, as well as fixing some things that we need to from the third package.
David, listening on WGRN in Columbus, Ohio. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hello, Congressman. I have a similar question. I was very depressed to hear that we were going to spend whatever between $2 and $10 trillion to help corporations. And have we just mortgaged the future? I mean, this is very unclear. Well, a lot of people don't understand this. I don't know if you can explain it quickly, but are we still in any kind of good shape for projects and programs for the future? They can't really say Medicare for all costs too much now, since the Republicans have just gone overboard on the corporate subsidies. So what's the true story?
Yeah, David, so I'll tell you, the true story is, one, we absolutely are in a good position to do future projects. In fact, even Donald Trump has said, because the interest rates are at 0%, which is how he thinks all the time, it's a good time to do some infrastructure and get people to work. So I think the fact that we want to do this and he's saying he wants to do this means we've got some good possibilities for that moving forward. I do think, though, that I have been frustrated by some who are putting the two things together, the Federal Reserve, and I think those actions are far less clear than people are pretending to understand them, and the CARE Act, which, again, puts about $2 trillion into the economy. So we do have language to have some safeguards on about $500 billion that's going to some of the bigger businesses. We obviously would love to have more. We didn't get everything we wanted. But to equate the two together, I believe, in my opinion, is a terrible mistake. And it's often put out there by people who don't understand the difference between the Federal Reserve actions and the bill actions. So I'm putting that out there, but I do not think that impacts our ability to move forward and get those other projects done. Because, again, the good news is I'm hearing positive things from the president on this. We all along have wanted to do infrastructure. So I think this still is primed in a good way moving forward.
Judy in Denver, Colorado, we got a minute, 10 seconds. You got a quick question?
Hopefully. Thank you, Mr. Pogan. I see video almost every day of, like, the Chinese doctors, nurses, and anybody dealing with this virus, that they're wearing head-to-toe protective suits, basically like they wore when they fought the Ebola virus. Why don't any of our doctors and nurses have these protective suits? The Chinese found when they went to the protective suits.
Thank you, Judy. Thank you. Let's let Congressman Pocan answer the question.
Yeah, and this, this, Judy, is one of the big problems that we've been pointing out, is that we don't have enough supplies for our healthcare folks. Part of why we're staying at home is to flatten the curve so we don't have our healthcare system overtaken by its ability to address those who are sick. So that's part of what we're doing to stop the spread. But right now, we need far more supplies. Many companies are stepping up to do some of that. But again, the president is behind 4 to 8 weeks from where we should have been in getting all this addressed, probably closer to 8 weeks.
Congressman Mark Pocan taking your calls for the hour. Mary in Greenville, Michigan, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
I'm wondering what Congress can do, since the EPA has waived the industry standards for toxic emissions. This is going to cause respiratory damage, and it's just going to leave us another mess to clean up at the end of the coronavirus.
Yeah, Mary, you bring up a great point. When that first came out last week, we jumped on it because, our concern is that is this just a complete backdoor way to try to do what the president's been trying to do, period, around the APA and his actions around that. The administration claims that this is actually done just to help in the area where some companies are converting over and doing other things. They claim they're going to use it in a restricted way, but obviously we don't trust that. This is an action that shouldn't happen in that way. All the more reason why we are watching it very closely, and the committees of jurisdiction are dealing with it directly in a remote capacity. Having said that, I have some concerns that we are not ready to deal with things in a remote capacity, and we should be, because I think there are going to be other things that we should be having hearings on, et cetera, that we may not be able to get back to D.C. As quickly as we would like, and because of that, we need to try to set up some processes to be able to let them know we're still in operation, we're still a co-equal branch of government. The good news is we are still a co-equal branch of government, and we'll fight it in every possible way to make sure it's not done in an open way to just get rid of any environmental regulation whatsoever. But we did catch it immediately last week as it came up.
Georgia in Redondo Beach, California. Mm-hmm. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
So my question is related to the stimulus distribution formula. My daughter, who lives in D.C. and is working for a public policy organization trying to make the world a better place, I made her listen to you in the mornings. I'm so proud of her. So she called me. She's a bit distressed with this question, as I said. She knows she's really lucky and fortunate to still be employed, but she's confused why millions and millions of unemployed will be making more money than she does, out even to July. And I'm just wondering what I can say to her to make her feel better.
Yeah, Georgia, I mean, one jealous. Of the concerns, and I think what this is really pointing out, is that, you know, obviously, you know, we haven't raised the minimum wage forever, 10 years in this country, and you simply can't live on minimum wage or anything even close to minimum wage. So there is this surplus money, just like there's a surplus check being put out to help people who are working and making less than $75,000 or $150,000 as a couple. There also is that's part of the surplus that's available for people who are unemployed and who often, don't forget, don't get benefits and other things. They may have other expenses at that time. Honestly, I am joyous that I have a job I'm able to do from home, that I'm able to earn a living, and I am trying to make sure that those who are hit the hardest, who don't have a job, who are having their small business really struggle, we're all trying to look out for them right now. So I think my recommendation should be she should, one, hopefully rejoice in the fact she has a job and she's hopefully doing good work, it sounds like, for the broader community. And two, try to help out the people who are still hurting, those restaurants that can't have anyone come in but are doing carry out, the small businesses that are closed, the people that may not be seeing their job occur and they're going to be struggling to get through to pay rent, et cetera. I think this is a time that being selfless is a quality and a character that we all have to really try to rise to the very best we can.
Yeah, not speaking to the caller, but I'm seeing this across right-wing websites. This is they're revising the attacks that Reagan made, saying that some people on welfare, you know, that big buck in the supermarket line who has a steak, a verbatim quote from Trump, racist, you know, that essentially on welfare, they're making more than you are on minimum wage, and therefore you should hate them and be jealous of them. I think it's just despicable. But,
you know, really, instead of stocking up on toilet paper, we need to stock up on compassion and selflessness and patience right now. And for those right. people who, just today, I had someone I talked to who still was telling me that people die from the flu, you know, because they're still getting those messages. I don't know what we're going to do to change their minds, but for anyone who has maybe a better working mind, you know, we just got to realize that if you're fortunate enough to be able to work from home right now and have a job, that is wonderful. And we want to make sure that no one is hurt for something that they didn't cause because they didn't cause COVID-19. So we're just trying to help everyone get by during this time. Hopefully some of the surplus that's going out to both people who are employed and unemployed, and at least employed if you're making less than 150 again as a couple, can help use to stimulate the economy a little. But, you know, there are other things. I mean, I'm a huge proponent of the WorkShare program within unemployment insurance, where someone, you can hire people back when you're able to reopen at maybe 25 or 50% of hours, although we have to change it to get to 25%. But and they can still get 50% then of unemployment if they're getting 50% of their wage. It saves the unemployment account. It gives the worker more money in their pocket than just being on unemployment or just being working right now at that halftime wage. And it helps the company revamp and get back working so they can get to 100% again. Those are the kind of things we got to focus on. You know, let's stock up on compassion and selflessness and patience.
Yeah. Leslie in Springfield, Missouri. Hey, Leslie, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi, Tom. Hello, Congressman. My question is, how can the president and the current administration justify telling states to fend for themselves and obtaining vital medical equipment and PPEs? And then they turn around and outbid and obtain it all, then they withhold it from hotspot states. You know, this causes preventable deaths and further spread of the virus, does it not?
Yeah, Leslie, this is, I think, the $100,000 question of the week, or at least of the last couple of days, is how can the president, who claims to understand a free and open market, think that everyone's going to compete against each other for goods rather than knowing that market? If he came in as a federal government and was one big purchaser, not only would he be able to get some lower pricing, but it would not have everyone competing, increasing the cost of the goods of ventilators and other items. It makes no sense whatsoever. It's not just states competing, it's hospitals, it's local communities also competing to get these goods when we could be doing this in a much more logical way. Also, the Defense Production Act, he has put it in place for one auto company that he's mad at, and that's not the way you're supposed to use it. You're supposed to use it for any industries that could convert right now to something we need, and this is in many ways like a time of war, we should be doing this far more aggressively so that we're producing more and more goods right here in the United States for people who need it in the United States. I'm fortunate in Wisconsin. We've actually had a good relationship with our delegation, both Democrats and Republicans. We've all been looking out for companies that can convert over and do things. Our governor has worked with us very closely, and he's doing a lot. We've got companies that we're doing colorectal tests now, doing COVID tests. We've got companies that produced other biologic agents now doing reagents so that we can give them across the country for people doing tests. That's what we need to be stepping up doing, and we need the federal government to take the driver's seat on this and not just put 50 cars on the road with a two-lane highway. He needs to step up on this, and I cannot think of any good reason for him not to.
Melanie in Monroe, Wisconsin. We have a minute and a half left, Melanie. You got a quick question for Congressman Pocan?
I have a question regarding my college-age child. She's 19 and claimed as a dependent on our taxes this past year, probably not in the future, but why is there no money that is going to be received for that category of, you know, children in our country? Dependence. They're above 17, but yet they're not totally dependent yet.
Yeah, Melanie, so a couple of things. One, I mean, I don't know if she's unemployed or not. She would be eligible for unemployment if she's unemployed. If she has a job, that's terrific. We're glad that she has a job right now. And I would have to look at specifics on whether or not she would be eligible for the $1,200 check because of that. And I just don't know offhand. I said at the beginning of the program, because it's a 1,200-page bill, while I'm doing this, I can't be paging through to find the exact specs, but it's something we may want to check on online and just do a search, because many people have started to break down the various pieces of it. But there are some holes, and we're trying to address where there are some holes in that fourth package if anyone is left behind. But also, if she has college loans, she's not going to have to pay them during this period. That is in there for her. There are, we try to address as many people as you could when you're negotiating with a Republican Senate, Republican President, and a Democratic Congress.
Kate in Madison, Wisconsin. Hey, Kate, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Congressman, I just am curious. It seems like there is some question out there as to what businesses are actually essential. And honestly, it seems like there are quite a few businesses that are kind of taking advantage of claiming to be essential businesses. And I'm just wondering if there is any oversight happening in Wisconsin right now for whether businesses should be remaining open.
This isn't a federal issue, but I can tell you what I do know of it. You know, the governor has put out a list of what he considers an essential business. There is a website or a contact that a business can ask to prove that they're essential if they're not on that list. Again, it should be relatively narrow, but for the vast majority, including my own business here in town, we're not essential. We're a specialty printing business, and therefore we're closed down. I'm losing $7,500 a month while we're closed down. So I certainly am very aware of this. We have a lot of businesses calling us on this. There is a process and a web contact that the governor has where people can try to be deemed essential if they're not on the list. And it does vary state by state on what they're considering essential. So there is oversight, but it is done at the state level. And that's the most information I can offer, Kate.
Anna in Burbank, California. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan. Thanks for listening to KPFK.
I am a certified medical interpreter working in Los Angeles as an independent contractor, and my work has dropped considerably. And so I'm very confused, and there's a lot of confusion in the independent contractor community about how to access unemployment benefits. I've checked the California EDD website, and there's no information there. So can you help?
Yeah, Anna, unfortunately, you're not going to like my answer, but you're just going to have to call your local unemployment comp folks. I know in Wisconsin, their capacity is up to 600 calls at a time they can do, and I'm sure the same is in California and other places. But you're just going to have to check directly with them. There are ways that we put within the package to have independent contractors, sole proprietors, and some others be able to access some benefits during this time, but you're going to have to contact your local folks in your state in order to do that.
Are there other provisions of the bill that you're getting a lot of questions about that you'd like to speak to for a moment?
Yeah, I'll tell you, the biggest issue, Tom, I think we did a good job in getting money out to the economy for people who are unemployed and even some who are employed with the $1,200 check that'll be getting out there. I think the big business got taken care of. I think small business, the loan that's out there, some issues on how to access it, I think is not as clear. And I think things like this work share proposal and other proposals we need to really be looking at for that fourth package. To me, that's the weakest spot.
Brian, in Granville, Michigan, you are on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm wondering, with all the people losing their jobs, most of them aren't going to be able to afford COBRA, and if a week on a ventilator is probably going to cost, you know, $100,000 plus, what's going to happen with all the medical debt that's going to be created by this?
That's one of the issues that we've been bringing up, is we think that anyone who gets this not only should be able to get the test for free, but we also think treatment for free. And we are still trying to make sure that that is something that can happen. Now, there will be, because of some of these proposals we did, I think more people will stay employed than wouldn't have. So hopefully there will not be that surge in need for COBRA might happen just by the pure number of unemployment filings we have right now. But this is something that we have said all along, that no one should have to be held for the testing or the treatment of COVID-19. And we still are trying to get that done into, I don't know if it'll be the fourth package or a future package.
Robert in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Thank you for taking my call. About a year and a half ago, I was fired and received $2,100 worth of unemployment benefits. Then my old employer appealed. And after then jumped to now, about a week of trying to get online, I finally was able to get online to apply for a benefit. And I was, and then it showed I had this balance. But it didn't get any more information, so I don't know what's going on. Am I going to get any benefits, or who to contact, or... I'm up in the air.
You have a balance. You mean you owe that money back to them, Robert?
Yeah.
They denied your benefits? Uh-huh. Okay. Congressman?
Right. They gave it to me, and then they said after the appeal,
you got to pay it back.
That's a question you're going to have to call your unemployment comp. Because it is delivered at the state level, you're going to have to deal with it in your state and try to get a hold of a human because you have a pretty complex situation. But there's nothing... Unfortunately, I think federally we can do at that level.
Richard in Bellevue, Washington, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Congressman Pocan, is there a mechanism or an ability for the true current leaders of our nations, that would be Governors Cuomo, Inslee, Newsom, et cetera, to form a coalition for purchase procurement? Basically a large force to be able to bypass the federal government in this case to be able to combat this virus.
Yeah, and let me add to that. Politico is reporting that a senior White House official told Politico on the QT that Trump is prioritizing red states, that Ron DeSantis has gotten three shipments, now he gets everything he wants, hundreds of thousands of respirators and masks and all kinds of stuff. And New York and Michigan and Washington State are being cut.
Yeah, I can't address that because I haven't seen that article, Tom. What I can tell the caller is I think people could probably pool and do purchasing. The issue is right now most governors in the exact states you just mentioned are treading water at best, trying to stay afloat in dealing with what they have in their states. If there was a way to do it relatively easily, perhaps, but still, there's there are many, many, many other entities still bidding in these pools, and that doesn't make sense. All that's doing is driving the cost up, and again, the president needs to do this to make it the most effective. But if there was a way to do that purchasing pool and they can do it with the capacity they have, that would probably be a good idea.
Minute and a half to the end of the hour. Bill in Anza, California. Quick question for Congressman Pocan, please.
Yeah, I want to talk about our nation's mail carriers. I mean, and the junk mail we're getting. Is there anything we can do to stop the flow of the junk mail? Because, you know, they're working their asses off. I'm sorry. Working their butts off. And we need to just stop the junk mail.
Let's let the congressman answer. Also, postal workers are saying that they want personal protective equipment. And Bernie Sanders, has started. Go ahead.
And that's a priority we have right now, is just making sure while, you know, we still have mail delivery, which we're going to need to make everything run in this country, we've got to make sure that we're protecting every postal worker, but also every worker. We need stronger worker guidelines for OSHA, and that's something I know that we're talking about into the fourth package as well. But we should be thanking not only every hospital worker, doctor, nurse, janitorial staff, support staff, every small business that is open right now, from grocery stores to pharmacies, every factory that's producing our goods, every postal worker and government employee who's in an essential job right now. We need to be thanking all of those folks for doing what they're doing, because they are putting themselves at extreme risk in some cases, and we need to give them the gear they need to do their job.
And let me take the opportunity to thank you, Congressman Pocan, for the great job you're doing in Congress and for coming on this program every week. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Tom, as always.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Kat in Vashon, Washington. Hey, Kat, what's up?
People in my situation with terminal illness, I mean, for me, this is the last 4 to 6 months of my life, and I had it pretty planned out, and I was really happy with it, you know, spending time with loved ones, etc. And, of course, that's not happening. But if we could, like, if my family could get the testing for the antibodies, mm-hmm. they could come and help me, but they can't get the test. So people are, I know I'm a small percentage of what everyone's facing, but it just goes to show it's such a broad cast effect for so many. People in my situation, I belong to a small Facebook group, and we've pretty much all decided, you know, we're not going to survive the virus. We don't want to take ventilators from people who have a better chance. But we can't even have our families.
I'm so sorry. My best friend's wife is dying of terminal cancer, and they're having a terrible problem just getting her treatment. Kat, I'm so sorry to hear your situation.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit tomhartman.com.